John Sekulow, the FBI planted undercover agents inside churches.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Do you remember back, it was January that we learned about a memo coming from the FBI. It was January 23rd, and they started, of course, they always blame a field office first. It was the FBI Richmond field office where they were, the FBI assesses the, and I'm reading it right here, is the FBI memo, the increasingly observed interest of racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, those are RMVEs, in radical traditionalist Catholic ideology. Presents opportunities to threat mitigations through the exploration of new avenues for tripwire and source development. This came out in January. And quickly the feds, and you know, DOJ, the AG said, no, this was limited to Richmond. They were wrong. We told them they were wrong. And this went no further than Richmond. Now we've learned through a new letter sent by Chairman Jordan of the House Judiciary Committee to the FBI Director Christopher Wray, that in fact, this information sheet from the FBI on radical traditionalist Catholics went through all of the FBI field offices, was widely distributed, and that we now know that the FBI relied on at least one undercover agent to produce the analysis. So they sent someone inside Catholic churches, and that the FBI proposed that its agents engage in outreach to Catholic parishes to develop sources among the clergy and church leadership to inform on Americans practicing their faith. Do you know who does this? Putin, utilizing the Russian Orthodox Church and the patriarch of that church, Kirill, who is tied to the FSB in Russia. That's not what we do in the United States of America. Sending in, and we talk about the weaponization of these government agencies. There is a select committee. We have a member of that select committee coming up next on the broadcast, Congressman Mike Johnson of Louisiana. He's on the Judiciary Committee. He chairs the Committee on the Constitution and Limited Government, but he's also on that select committee on the weaponization of these federal government entities. And in this scenario, we have specifically information now that this was not just an idea by the FBI, but it was put into practice that at least once they sent in an FBI undercover agent to get information to start developing and spy on Americans practicing their radical, traditional Catholic faith. I bet I'm talking to a lot of people that the FBI might categorize as radical faith believers, whether you're Catholic or Protestant, because you might be traditional in your beliefs. So what does that mean? You're not pro-abortion? Or you might be pro-life. You might be a pro-life activist. You might support pro-life groups like the ACLJ. This is a time when I want to remind you that if you think you need legal assistance because you've got an issue the ACLJ can assist on, we do that at no charge, the ACLJ. And I think some of you may think, you know, we've gotten bigger and maybe we're too big to contact. We're not. I think, remember those Catholic students we represent who were harassed in Washington, D.C. for their pro-life shirts and kicked out, chased out of museums in Washington, D.C., because they had a pro-life message on their beanie. We represent those students at no cost. If you believe that you need legal assistance, you go to aclj.org/help. That's aclj.org/help. And you can find out, again, you can contact us. Your attorney will contact you. And if it's a matter that we can assist with, we will do that. And we'll take you through the entire process. It might not start with directly going into, you know, filing a lawsuit, but the steps you take. So I want you to remind you that that resource is always available to our supporters and listeners and anybody out there who believes, hey, this might be happening at their church. They feel like law enforcement's inappropriately targeting their church. aclj.org/help. And then you put in your information there, you will be contacted by an ACLJ attorney directly. To help you through to see if we're the right organization for your situation. aclj.org/help. We come back. Congressman Mike Johnson, he's on these committees. He signed the letters to Christopher Wray about this, what this new information. We also filed a FOIA, and we're about to go to court on this issue. secular folks, as we await, we look like we're going to have to go to federal court over the FOIA we filed right after learning about this. February 10th, we filed with the FBI on this matter that emerged out of their Richmond field office, but we now believe may have spread further than that into the FBI systems, and now information about an informant that was utilized by the FBI inside a Catholic church. But so it looks like we're going to have to go to court on that matter because, of course, they didn't fully comply with their FOIA requests and obligations under the law. We're used to that, and we'll get that information. But it's great to be joined right now by Congressman Mike Johnson of Louisiana's 4th Congressional District, who serves on the Select Committee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government. He is the chair of the subcommittee on the Constitution and Limited Government and serves on the House Judiciary Committee. This all falling under those parameters. And Congressman Johnson, it's great to have you on the broadcast. Let me ask you first about this. A new letter which has now shed light, gives us more information that the FBI utilized an undercover agent to go inside what I guess one of these so-called radically traditionalist Catholic churches to try and get information and analysis about outreach to parishes to develop, this is from the letter, sources among the clergy and church leadership to inform on Americans practicing their faith. Sounds like something that would happen in communist countries, not in the United States of America.
That's exactly right, Jordan. Great to talk with you. And everybody just heard that right. The FBI itself was seeking to recruit undercover agents in Christian Catholic churches, right? And the reason is, their purported reason, is because they were concerned with what they called the threat, this is a quote, the threat of radical traditionalist Catholics, e.g. Pro-lifers. Those who actually practice their faith, right? That's a threat to this FBI, to this the Biden administration and the White House and the leadership of the DOJ. And so they were going to dispatch agents out to the churches to go and to find spies inside the hallways. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and it goes a step further. They were going to try even to, and I think for everybody listening to our broadcast, so we got a lot of people who would fall under the traditional faith category that, you know, believe in what their churches teach and their faith and their practice of their faith, whether they're Catholic or Protestant. And I think they're listening right now going, I wonder if this is happening to us too, if, you know, our church happens to be pro-life, or I happen to be, you know, someone who's involved in the pro-life movement. Is this who they're really coming after? And they even are trying to turn churches and Catholic leaders against other Catholic leaders. It said they expressed an interest in contacting so-called mainline Catholic parishes. So you have the federal government here getting directly involved, Congressman Johnson, in religious affairs, like labeling who is a traditionalist and who's a mainline Catholic.
So that's exactly right. And they also wanted to recruit, and this is all in the documents, Jordan. We're not surmising this. We have it in writing, that they wanted to recruit and work with the local diocesan leadership, apparently to find some who might be sympathetic to the FBI's plot, I guess, their plan, and to engage them in the process. I mean, it's almost surreal that it's come to this. And it sounds like we're making this stuff up, but it's in the documents. And so we sent a letter 48 hours ago to FBI Director Chris Wray himself, because we need him to assist in the production of the documents. They sent us redacted versions of some of this. We only gotten 18 pages. We've been asking for it for over a month. And he's going to have to come forward himself and ensure that this material is sent to us. We have a constitutional responsibility of oversight in the Congress, and they are not complying with our request. And this is obviously an issue of great concern to millions and millions of Americans.
Folks, we're talking to Congressman Mike Johnson. I mean, Congressman, this idea, I saw the first time Christopher Wray addressed this, you know, he tried to say, well, this was, we saw it in Richmond and we shut it down. But then there is concern that this memo went further and wider as well, that it may not have stayed in Richmond. And we've seen this time and time again, whether it's dealing with the IRS, whether it's dealing with law enforcement, is that they will try to blame a local office and say, you know, we had nothing to do with it out of the headquarters. And then you find out later that, in fact, this did spread far and wide until they got caught.
That's exactly right. And we put in our letter to Christopher Wray that we know from whistleblowers, this is a fact, that the FBI did distribute this document to field offices around the country. Now, we don't know, as you and I speak, how many FBI employees actually explored these, quote, new avenues for tripwire and source development in Catholic houses of worship around the country. But obviously, that is a very, very important question to be answered. And that's why we have to pursue this so vigorously. You know, this is not a political exercise, Jordan. This is about the most basic right and freedoms that we have as Americans. And you and I have devoted most of our careers and lives to the defense of religious liberty. And the reason is because we know that's our first freedom. It's so essential to who we are as Americans. And when religious freedom is taken from a people, their political freedom soon follows. And so this is just a steamroll over the First Amendment. And of course, as one of the clips you played earlier indicates, I mean, implies, this would have a chilling effect as well, potentially a great chilling effect on people to actually go and worship at a Catholic church, a traditional Catholic church, because they may be concerned that there's some FBI recruited snitch a few pews behind them that may be starting a threat assessment file on them. I mean, it's very, very serious stuff.
And it does seem they're kind of using this vague that they believe that this could be a recruiting ground for racially motivated or ethnically motivated violent extremists. But it seems to me, Congressman, as we've seen, the FBI, it seems more interested in pro-life, people who are pro-life, whether they are peaceful protesters, they run pro-life pregnancy centers, because we've seen this administration define that work as almost illegal. They try to say it's misinformation, disinformation, and what they're doing is wrong. And so they have, in a sense, demonized having a religiously held or deeply held pro-life position that you may actually act on.
That's exactly right. And they often use racial animus as cover to go after, you know, conservatives. And of course, it holds no water. And remember, too, there is no allegation here. This is a critical fact. There is no allegation of criminal activity. OK, this is to cast a broad net and go after conservatives for their deeply held, sincerely held religious beliefs. I mean, there's no other way to read this. And that's why Christopher Wray, when he was first asked about it, he immediately backpedaled and said, oh, no, that's we're not about that. Yeah, because whistleblowers came forward and they got caught. You know, there's a pattern of this. We have dozens of whistleblowers who have come forward to the Weaponization Committee, and the things that they are uncovering and revealing and showing to the Congress is just absolutely shocking. And we have to ensure that this madness doesn't continue and is never allowed to happen again, because this is not who we are as Americans.
No, and this, it goes to the people's trust and faith in our institutions. It's why this Select Committee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government exists. It's not to just go after FBI agents. It's because if we've got to have an FBI that people trust is doing the right thing. I mean, all of our institutions are based on the fact that they are humans. They might make some errors sometimes, but generally speaking, their policy and their what they're hoping to do is to do the right thing for the American people, not against the American people who are going to church.
That's it. I mean, our system relies upon that justice is blind, that there's not two systems of justice, that you can't weaponize our justice system itself to go after people who have different religious or political viewpoints. And that's exactly what is happening right now under Merrick Garland as the Attorney General, under this FBI. And you know, we have to track it down and strike it down at the root, because it is undermining, as you said, the people's faith in our institutions themselves. And in a constitutional republic that is still an experiment on the world stage, you know, we're only almost 247 years into this. We don't know how long a government of, by, and for the people can last. But one thing that is absolutely essential to maintain those foundations is the people's trust in the system itself. And this is, there's nothing more serious than undermining that.
Congressman Johnson, we appreciate you joining us, and we appreciate the work you're doing. You know, it shows again by, having these committees, having that Select Committee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government, something that's been necessary for years. Now you're doing it. We so appreciate that work and appreciate you joining us on the broadcast today. That's Congressman Mike Johnson. And again, he is leading a charge here, along with Chairman Jordan of the Judiciary Committee, to get to the bottom of this information, because, again, we have a country that's worth fighting for. We have a country that's worth dying for. It's not the politicians, it's not the leaders. It's the ideas that are in our Constitution and our rule of law. It's why we have this voluntary military to protect those freedoms and liberties from any kind of those who wish to destroy them. But the problem within can be much more dangerous because people's trust. It's like yesterday when the HHS secretary said all options are on the table. They might tell the FDA just to ignore a court ruling, a federal court ruling, a co-equal branch of government's ruling, because it happens to involve the same issue here, abortion. So we can just start ignoring federal courts and federal judges? Because this is going to, that would set a new precedent. That, again, like the congressman said, we're 247 years into this experiment. It's an experiment that is worth fighting for. That's why, if you feel like you've got a situation where you need to be fighting, you need to contact us at ACLJ, aclj.org/help. And if we can assist you in that matter, in that legal matter, we do that at no cost. So contact us if you feel like you need the help, aclj.org/help. Support the ACLJ at aclj.org. We'll be right back. You know, a comment came in on Rumble while we were talking to Congressman Mike Johnson. It was great to have him. He's right in the middle of this. He serves on the Judiciary Committee in the House. He chairs the Subcommittee on the Constitution and Limited Government, and he is on the Select Committee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government, which, you know, we have been mocked for years of saying how out of control it is, but we've represented the clients who were targeted by the IRS, the Tea Party groups, by, again, a law enforcement agency with a law enforcement division inside the IRS. We have represented those pro-life students who were targeted just visiting in Washington, D.C., museums and the Smithsonian National Archives. We've represented, again, we brought this forward. This is real. And now we're seeing at the FBI level what we have now learned. And we filed a FOIA this immediately. I mean, a week and a half after we already had our FOIA out to the FBI, we've gotten some response from the FBI. I think they sent in 6 letters, but we're still assessing. It looks like we're heading to federal court that they did not fully comply with our FOIA request, which is unfortunately the norm that we have to go into federal court to fight to get the information that we have a right to under federal law, under the FOIA law, the Freedom of Information Act. But we've now since learned from the whistleblowers. I just want to make sure you caught that with Congressman Johnson, because this is new, that this was not just a memo that was never acted on, which is kind of like if you listen to Christopher Wray here. I want to play this. This was earlier last month. At a hearing, he got asked about it, and he kind of tapped it down as this was Richmond field office and nothing ever happened and it didn't go anywhere. Take a listen, bite one.
When I first learned of the piece, I was aghast.
As you should be.
And we took steps immediately to withdraw it and remove it from FBI systems. It does not reflect FBI standards. We do not conduct investigations based on religious affiliation or practices, full stop.
Okay, that's wonderful, full stop. Except they did. Because now we know it wasn't just an idea. First of all, they started creating acronyms. RTCs, Radical Traditionalist Catholics. That should never be a acronym inside our federal government. We have a First Amendment that protects us from our government targeting us because of our religious faith. Now, the second part to that is we now know there was an informant utilized. So this wasn't just an idea. I want to bring in Andy Economy because, Andy, what Christopher Wray tried to imply, which they always do, is that these were bad actors. I'm glad they say that they don't like this idea. That's wonderful that they agree that this is bad because they got caught. But then they try to act like nothing happened with it. Now we know it was widely distributed among other FBI offices, so it was cleared to go to other offices. And second, that they were acting on it. They had at least one whistleblower has confirmed that an undercover agent was sent into a Catholic church to do the very work that they outlined in this memo to target these radically traditionalist Catholics. And I just want to remind you, we got a lot of listeners right now who would certainly fall under a radically traditionalist faith definition by the FBI, whether you're Catholic, Protestant, or another faith, because you happen to adhere to the tenets of your faith.
If you want to be scared of what your government is doing, this is the time to be scared of what your government is enacting and is putting into place. This is the time when you better be fearful, because now the FBI has designated such things as RMVEs. They love acronyms. Racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists in what? radical traditionalist Catholic ideology. They are taking the Roman Catholic Church and they are saying, we better be careful. We're going to look at it very hard, and we're going to make sure that radical Catholics are rooted out and taken out of the circulation, and we don't allow this to occur in Catholic churches. You might as well take St. Augustine, Tertullian, St. Jerome, St. Ambrose of Milan. You might as well take out all the Jesuits who are radicals, all the Dominicans, all the Franciscans, all the friars, the basic popes, Pope Pius X, who became a saint, all of them, every one of them. Because why? They rely on distinctions that were made and suggested to the FBI by whom? I love it. The Southern Poverty Law Center, that corrupt organization that feeds information to the FBI. So take all these, from the time of the origin of the Catholic Church, take Christ, the biggest radical of all. Expunge him. He was the person who wanted to overthrow the Roman Empire and replace it with the Empire of God. Throw him out. Get rid of Jesus. No good. A person who the FBI would have put number one on the list.
Right. And they say that. They say because there's catalyzing events in which racially motivated violent extremists and radical traditionalist Catholic adherents might have common cause, include legislation. Oh, that's radical. You mean like petitioning the government for redress of grievances or supporting legislation that could pass Congress is somehow now a radical event? Well, it is under, I guess, state law as well. You know this is about life. This is 100% about being pro-life. This has nothing to do with being racially motivated violent extremist. It's about being someone who actually believes in life, because that's the only legislation I know of. And second, what's next? Judicial decisions might unite them. You mean decisions by a co-equal branch of the federal government that just because the executive branch doesn't like, now they're demonizing? I mean, this is why, Andy, they have a committee called the weaponization of the federal government. It's the weaponization of the federal government against the American people. And I think here they got caught targeting Catholics. But if I'm talking to any of you, and that includes me, who I'm talking, you know, would include me, that if we adhere to our faith, we now are somehow enemies of the state.
Yes, and it includes me. I'm Greek Orthodox. We use Greek in the Orthodox Church. Oh, God forbid. They need to put in loudspeakers and microphones to make sure we're not saying something wrong. We came up with a liturgy in the 4th century. The liturgy of St. John Chrysostom, the liturgy of St. Basil the Great, the liturgy of the pre-sanctified holy gifts. These are all in Greek, and we've used these since time immemorial. But we may be something in here, saying something in here that based on certain theological distinctions may be what? I'm reading the letter. Domestic terrorists. Can you see a bunch of Greeks in the Orthodox Church celebrating Easter, as we do, by the way, on April 16th this year?
Because of that.
Because of that. We celebrate Easter after the Jewish Passover, because that's when it occurred. Christ came into Jerusalem, had the Passover, and then was crucified. Oh, my God. These Greeks are not celebrating Easter on the day when everybody else is. They must be domestic terrorists.
It's the cycling addict on Rumble, which, by the way, using that term, cycling addict, I mean, I asked you, what kind of bike do you use? Because I see a lot of people cycling now. But saying that word addict, oh, you're addicted to cycling, you might be, again, some kind of threat to the government because you care too much about your health and bikes on the road. But they said, my trust in the government as a whole is completely busted, and it would take a whole lot to get it back. I agree. But it's a country worth fighting for. It's a system of government worth fighting for, not giving up on. And that's what Congressman Jordan, that's what Congressman Johnson, that's what the Select Committee is doing, is trying to get us back to a point where we can believe in these institutions, trust them, always have oversight because they are humans running them, but in general believe that they are trying to do the right thing, not the wrong thing. And that when they do the wrong thing, they will handle it internally. We don't have to get involved, but on this matter, we do. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. Donate today. We'll be right back. We'll
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
I know a lot of folks are listening to the broadcast, but we have a lot of people watching the broadcast as well, and a lot more of you who are going to Rumble, which is our preferred place for you to watch our broadcast and interact with us, because we know we will not be censored. We know we can talk about these issues directly. We can get to the heart of the issues without fear of censorship, which is great that Rumble provides us that platform to talk to you each day. So if you are there and you're watching our broadcast and you like what we have to say, we do this Monday through Friday for an hour a day, and we're live. You follow us, click that follow button, because we also, while we're live noon Eastern time, noon to one, we will sometimes come back if the, you know, the afternoon. We have other broadcasts as well that we do. So I encourage you to follow us on Rumble. Click that follow button. And something we do at the ACLJ, we're not just a news show. We do this work. The ACLJ, the American Center for Law and Justice, filed a FOIA. This came out January 23rd. The memo was written by the FBI. We already had a FOIA into the FBI, which I'm holding right here, on February 10th. We got a response to some of our questions in the FOIA, some of our requests, but not all. So we're preparing right now, it looks like, to go to federal court to get that information. You shouldn't have to do that, but we now know that's the norm in dealing with the federal government, is that to really get to the heart of the information, you file the FOIA, they don't reply, and then when they don't reply in a certain amount of days, or they don't reply with the information that they have to under law, you then have the right to take them to court, which we do at the ACLJ. So we don't just talk about these issues. We also represent clients. So if you feel like this is something happening in your church, this is the FBI that got caught. This is a memo that got caught because of whistleblowers who thought this was wrong. I doubt it's limited to just this office, and I doubt it's limited to just radical traditionalist Catholics, which we know what that means, pro-life Catholics. Pro-life Catholics who actually practice their faith as if there's something wrong with that. So they want to go to the mainline Catholics who maybe don't really totally practice their faith and say, well, if you're the kind of Catholics that give communion out to people who are still pro-abortion, hey, can you turn on these radicals who don't because they're pro-life? And by the way, the FBI has no role to play in that interplay within the Catholic Church or your religious denomination. But I have a feeling it's never limited to just one. It's usually all of us who happen to fall under their definition of traditional beliefs. And you heard Congressman Johnson. He said exactly what it means. It means pro-life in this scenario. They know. They refer to legislation and judicial decisions. This came out this January. This January, after Roe versus Wade was overturned, as we are battling in states across the country for life now that Roe versus Wade has been overturned. Some is in court, as we're doing and working on those cases. Some is legislation. Some are constitutional amendments. But we are seeing this, again, it's why the Weaponization Committee exists. It's why groups like the ACLJ exist, this unbelievable assault on people of faith in our country. And because, Andy, what they have turned us into, when you read this memo, is that if you believe in the faith that you practice, you are somehow an enemy or a potential enemy of the federal government.
That's right, Jordan. That's exactly correct. You are, if you are a basic fundamental believing, for example, now Roman Catholic or Greek Orthodox or Episcopalian or Baptist or Presbyterian, if you actually believe in the fundamentals of your faith, you better watch out, because we're looking at you to make sure you don't deviate, that you don't move away from that. You know, the Jesuits in the 16th century were an order that was founded to purify the Catholic Church. And do you know who who a Jesuit is today? Pope Francis I. He is a Jesuit. So you better watch out, Pope Francis. The FBI may be looking at you because you came up in an order that was meant to purify the Catholic faith. Watch out, Your Holiness.
We're going to take your calls, 1-800-684-3110 on this matter. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Join the broadcast. We'll start taking more of your phone calls as we come back from this break. If you need legal assistance, remember, we do this work at the ACLJ at no cost to you. ACLJ.org/help. And an ACLJ attorney will contact you, and you can support the work of the ACLJ. The reason we're able to do that is because of our donors. Donate today at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back. they're taking the Catholic Church, they're using it as an example to all Christians. I totally agree. I mean, this is, again, if they could get away with it in the Catholic Church, they're coming to your evangelical church too, especially. Unless you're already, you may already be past help. You might already have it. That's why we encourage you, if you feel like that, there's people asking questions, showing up at church, starting to ask weird questions, contact us at aclj.org/help. Because it's one thing for radical traditionalist Catholics to now face this. I would actually think it's a lesser bar for them to try to go after evangelicals, who we know they don't really like, and have gotten too involved in politics and too involved in government and holding them accountable. But this is the reality we are dealing with. And I want to go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. We now know the FBI acted on this memo. They actually put at least one undercover agent inside a Catholic church. There's so many violations of law there. Right off the top, our First Amendment. They tried to pit Catholic churches against each other and different members because they happen to be adherent to their faith, pro-life. So if you think it's just going to happen to Catholics, no, no, no. This could happen to your church, too. Let's go to the phones. Rhonda in Florida, on line one. Hey, Rhonda.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. And I am just blown away as I listen to you guys. I love you, by the way. I don't really listen to any news at all except you guys. So that blows me away, that this conversation about the FBI. Where are the people who are holding them accountable? Like, I'm just another law-abiding citizen who loves the Lord Jesus. It blows my mind. So thank you for bringing it to the forefront of all of this. And I hope something good happens. So
well,
thank you.
I think
you.
That's what we do. We're holding them accountable so we can do it outside the government through organizations like the ACLJ. We work with good actors in our Congress and the legislature. They have the weaponization committee. That's why we had Congressman Johnson on. They're subpoenaing Christopher Wray on this issue. So, I mean, they're using their full authority to get to the bottom of this, to make sure the FBI knows this is not going to be acceptable, and that they will expose it and expose the people behind it and how far it went. But then the second point is the bigger election position, which is who sets the tone for the executive branch. Donald Trump only had 4 years to start draining the swamp. And whoever you may support in the next election, they've got to go about that business and continue it. And you know, when you do that work, what happens? They try to impeach you. They set up special counsels to go after you. The DAs come after you in New York. DAs come after you in Atlanta. Another special counsel. They try to impeach you after you leave office. So it's a tough task. But we have to have leaders that are willing. We have the leaders in Congress who are willing to expose it and hold their feet to the fire. But we've got to have executive branch leaders who kick them out, who aren't afraid to fire the director of the FBI, which Donald Trump did, and he paid the consequences for doing that, even though that director was wrongly interfering on both sides of the election. Because we see that time and time again for the FBI, as they like to flex, and you let them get out of control. And when you let them get out of control, it's a lot of work to rein it back in. And another issue we're concerned about, tied to all of this tracking you, finding out where you spend your money, is an issue which I know you are seeing in the news right now and broadcasted on social media, so I wanted to break it down for you. It's the central bank digital currency, because when I saw Governor Noem talking to Tucker Carlson, and we've represented Governor Noem at the ACLJ on life issues in the state of South Dakota, when I saw Governor Noem had to veto a update to the uniform code, it's just the UCC. And she had to veto it because there was a sentence in there about establishing a central bank digital currency. So what does that mean? Let me go to Harry Hutchinson. Harry, just to explain to people who might be new to this term, because it's really just been in the last 24, 48 hours, people are talking about it. We've seen it pushed at the international level, but now we're hearing the Federal Reserve Chair is talking about it too.
Precisely. So central bank digital currency, this movement, which has been in the works for at least 10, if not 15 years, is designed to do one thing and one thing only, and that is to deprive citizens of the physical possession of their own money. What does that mean? It means then that the government can track each and every transaction. The government can decide what is best for you, like the Chinese government is currently doing. So the question for the American people is, number one, do you eat too much beef? Do you need to eat more maggots and Beetle burgers? The government can, in fact, decide that that is the appropriate course of action. Why? Because the central bank digital currency movement is linked to climate change. It's linked to a digitized passport. It is linked ultimately to ultimate control over each and every transaction that you and I engage in. And the American people need to be educated on this particular proposal, and the American people need to become increasingly suspicious. It is very possible that at some point in time, the national bodies, the international bodies, and national governments will get together and plan a plandemic, if you will, on banks to reduce the reliability and our dependency on banks and force us toward centralized digital currencies. That is a huge, huge problem, and everyone needs to be aware of it.
Yeah, I mean, they could say, are you donating to a certain church? I mean, I tie this right to the matter with the FBI investigating radical traditionalist Catholics, which it sounds crazy even saying, but that's a new acronym they've got floating around the FBI, RTCs, who can be motivated to violent extremism because of their adherence to the faith. That is now a bad thing in our country, to be a person of faith who takes their faith seriously. That used to be something that almost it had to be something you had to have to be a leader in our country, that you would be scrutinized over that. But of course, now it's a bad thing to be someone who takes their faith seriously. But are you donating to a certain church? Are you giving to certain political candidates? And suddenly, is your carbon footprint, oh, you've used your carbon credit up, so Andy, we're going to cut your spending off right now. And they would have the ability, so much easier under this digital currency model, to be able to do that than they even do right now under the cash system in banking and the unregulated, for the most part, cryptocurrency market, which, again, is a disruptor, and they hate disruptions.
This central bank digital currency that Harry described so well is really a danger to the country. It really is, because it tracks how you spend, and it makes a determination of what you're going to spend on and what you're not going to spend on by the federal government, which has no business interfering in our lives as to what we're going to spend our money for. That's our business. And when you tie it in, as they have, to this idea of RTCs, these radical theological concepts, that the FBI, and I'm not making that up, it's in this sheet right here that we got from the field office in Richmond, and this was, you know, I didn't make that up. RTC, and it says, it scares you, is likely, watch it, to increase over the next 12 to 24 months. So as these radical Catholic theologians and believers increase, so we're going to put into effect central bank digital currencies to make sure that you don't give and donate to those organizations that the government decides are not worthy of your money. You know what I say to the federal government? Stay out of my pocket.
You know, we come back for this break, I'm going to go to Dimitro, too, in Washington State, who's got a great... we're going to talk about the issue, too, involving the churches, too. I think this is all tied together. It's all about the government trying to track you and getting more power. How are you spending your money? How can we set up a system where John Kerry gets his way and the terrestrials that are John Kerry, the extraterrestrials that John Kerry represents at the international level get their way by being able to say, you know what, you get a social score. They do this in other countries. And you can only spend on this much. You know, now you've gone over your carbon limit. You've taken too many flights this year. You've bought too much gas. You know, we'll have to, and then eventually they'll just ban that altogether. Right? So you won't even be able to operate those vehicles anymore, even though they have a grid that's not ready to go electric. And ask Elon Musk, who would benefit greatly if America was ready to go out fully electric, since he has one of the most effective car companies in existence with electric cars. And still, he will tell you, as he has said over time, we are not even close to having a kind of power grid that, or the technology for the vehicles themselves, where everyone should be doing this. They're just figuring out trucks. They're just and the automated driving has not gone so great. Sounds like a wonderful idea. We'd all like to sit back in the car and be able to go through, I guess, our emails that they're probably all watching. But we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Because when you know they're spying on you at their church and they're using human assets to do it, imagine what they're going to do with technology if you give them the power. If you give them the power under law, that's what the Fed is saying. We'd love to have legislation giving them the power. They didn't say they'd have to, by the way. They said it would be ideal to have legislation to give the power. Governor DeSantis said, no, you have to have legislation, but that would be a fight too. Do they even need Congress? Do they think they can do it on their own? We'll take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching on Rumble, follow us there so you get our updates and know when we're live. All right, welcome back to Secular. We got more to talk about with the radical traditionalist Catholics and the FBI. Remember, this was only January 23rd that this memo was written this year. ACLJ immediately took action. February 10th filed the FOIA. The FBI has responded to the FOIA, but they did not respond the way they are supposed to, so we're preparing to go to federal court there to get the information. We shouldn't have to do that under the FOIA law, but it does allow you to when these government agencies don't fully comply with the law that they have to, the information they have to provide. We had Congressman Johnson on, and he talked about, again, this goes right to the heart of the life issue, that you're a radical traditionalist member of the faith if you happen to be pro-life. I want to go right to the phones, because and it's tied into the central bank digital currency issue, which is a right, which is debate that's coming up in the last 24, 48 hours that we're seeing. Governor Noem having to veto a piece of legislation that had one sentence, or there was like one line, trying to sneak this in to an update to their universal commercial code. To the states. It's called the UCC. The lawyers out there will understand that. That's the kind of the model code. And then states adopt these rules and they update their code. And they tried to slip it in there. So she had to veto the entire piece of legislation. And that's a Republican legislature who has lobbyists coming in from outside, banks and other groups who say, this would be great. Let's get rid of that crypto market. And let's be able to, we'll work with the federal government. So you come in together with us and we'll track everything. And then what's your paper money worth? You know, if it's not tied to gold anymore, and now there's a digital currency, what is your U.S. dollar worthless? So at what point can they say that's, you can't use that anymore internationally. You've got to use this other currency, which you've got to amass. And how do you amass that? Well, you better be friendly with the government because they're in total control over it. Let's go to Dimitro calling in from Washington State online too. Hey, Dimitro.
Hello, guys. Thank you for taking my call. A little bit about me. I was born during Soviet Union and shortly after Soviet Union fell apart. So a lot of information got released and known to the public, and we started finding out that KGB actually sent their agents, undercover agents, into churches. And some of them were even able to infiltrate and become pastors. So the tendency that we see here, It's just the beginning of what I hear today and what I read at the topic of the broadcast. You know, it's just the beginning. They try to tell us that they just want us quiet. You know, vote for whoever you want. Just be quiet. They just don't talk about it, you know. But later on, just like in Soviet Union, that was not enough eventually. Eventually, they want us to support them, to support communist ideas and to actually preach it to our kids and to generations to come. So this is just the slippery slope. This is the very beginning of the very, very bad situation, very bad story.
Yeah, Dimitri, you're exactly right. You know, we used to do a lot of work in Russia. Unfortunately, we're not able to do that work now because of the situation with Ukraine and the sanctions in place. But you know, in the post-Soviet world, trying to create what does religious liberty look like in a post-Soviet Russia. And what was found out was how much involved the government was in infiltrating mostly what is the Russian Orthodox Church. I mean, Andy, it's now known that they got in. And Dimitro is exactly right. They didn't just infiltrate. They got to the top levels of – they actually became clergy.
They did. They became clergy. They became hierarchs. They became bishops. They became archbishops. Some would say they became patriarchs. I don't know about Cyril. I don't know what his connection to Putin is, but it's pretty close, and I think they have a common root somewhere. But this is the scary thing. It's the infiltration of your religion, and you've got to work against that. You've got to guard against that. Your ideas and your most sacred thoughts, the root cause of everything, your church, your faith, your belief, your life, all that is founded in your religion. And when the government begins to put these wires, what do they call them? Tripwire and source development, and to use churches for that person, you better start being really scared.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we got this comment, Harry, came in on Rumble, on the digital currency. The digital currency ushers in the social credit score that China practices today. So, I mean, we have examples of how this is utilized. Do spend your money the way the government wants you to, and you'll keep getting a higher score. You'll be looked on favorably. But you support candidates, causes, issues, buy gas, don't believe all their climate change rhetoric, and suddenly you're an enemy of the government, and they can limit your funds, how you use your funds.
That is precisely correct. And what is more important right now, I think, is that this movement has been in force for quite some time. So if you look at large investment companies like BlackRock and Vanguard, they have essentially adopted many of the goals of the social credit system. They've adopted DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, that agenda. They've adopted climate change as an agenda. And more than that, we should keep in mind that Klaus Schwab and Thierry Malleret have written a book called COVID-19, The Great Reset. And so they were working to use the pandemic as a device to push us toward more and more control through digital vaccine mandates and passports. And now they want to digitize currency. Ultimately, their goal is, I believe, to eliminate national sovereignty, to eliminate borders, and to then house world control in some location, probably in Switzerland or in Western Europe. So I think the American people need to get engaged in this particular issue, and they need to make sure that they are informed before going into the voting booth. And so you can now link all of this to what the FBI has done. The FBI, in my opinion, has been captured by cultural elites. The State Department has been captured by cultural elites, and it's all aimed at control. It is anti-democratic, even though they claim that, for instance, President Trump was anti-democratic. The bottom line is Americans need to wake up.
Yeah, I want to go to Raymond, Washington State, on line one before we finish out the broadcast. Hey, Raymond.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Yes, this is just an opinion of mine, but I feel as with everything going on, the government and the world is trying to replace all religions with a new, with a one standard religion in the name of climate change. Now, that's just my opinion and my theory. Take it as you will, but that's just what I feel is happening.
Yeah, I think, listen, they have two religions, it always seems like, within the left. It was abortion. Now that you add climate change to that. And if you don't agree with where they are on it, even when the U.S. Supreme Court doesn't agree where they are on it, you are an enemy. The justices become an enemy. The who are confirmed by the U.S. Senate, nominated by a president through the constitutional process, they're an enemy. You're an enemy if you support the overturning of Roe versus Wade. You're an enemy if you don't believe all of their climate religion, their climate theology. But they're obsessed with it to the point where they will overlook a genocide in China to try and get an agreement with China, which is a horrible polluter on climate. So they overlook the genocide there. That's how obsessed they are with that issue. And how they could use, again, the targeting, but also this centralized currency, digital currency, to track you and stop you from putting your money where you want to and using it the way you want to. Support the work of the ACLJ. We're on the front lines of all these issues. Go to aclj.org. We have a matching challenge right now. You can double the impact of your donation. That's at aclj.org. Donate today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.